What a wondrous day we celebrate today in this most sacred liturgy. We celebrate anew because the original feast was on Thursday, which we celebrated. But in this country, a country that has been beset by many problems from the very beginning, Pope Leo XIII of happy memory decreed that it could be celebrated on the following Sunday. In other countries, on Thursday, there were magnificent processions with the Blessed Sacrament. And many times the benediction was given, as we shall have at the end of this Mass as well. In Seville, a few years ago, I was present, and the Archbishop invited me to proceed with him. And there were literally, at the very, very least, 100,000 persons throughout the streets of Seville, which were all adorned, and many altars were placed where the benediction was given. And there were at least about 3,000 priests and many, many bishops. This because this feast is a feast that honors Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Its origins, which of course we see in the many beautiful readings, and I wish I could go piece by piece to the magnificent sequence that was sung so beautifully by the cantors, which I was not able to do today, since my voice is still nowhere near what it should be. In that sequence, I recommend that you read it on your own, that you meditate on it on your own. As one of the saints proclaimed, this sequence, which was written by St. Thomas Aquinas himself, is a catechism, a resume of the faith of the Church concerning the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. And this, of course, began with the many different apparitions and miracles that occurred of the Blessed Sacrament in the 12th and 13th centuries. One of the many saints at that time who was totally and completely filled with love for the Eucharist, as we should be, St. Juliana of Liege, among her many visions that she had from our Lord, received a vision in which he told her, "I will show you my church." And she looked up, and there in front of her was a humongous, beautiful, beautiful moon, bright and white as could be. But in the middle of the moon, there was a dark spot. And she asked him, "My Lord, what is the meaning of this?" And he said, "That dark spot is the sadness that it brings me that there is not yet established a feast in honor of my presence, my real presence in the most holy sacrament of the altar." Now, every Mass that is celebrated is about his real presence, his passion, death, and resurrection, and ascension into heaven. All that takes place at every single Mass. It is remembered, but not only remembered as in a picture album, but in reality. We relive these mysteries in this great sacrifice which we celebrate. So she did not understand, but he said, "I want a feast that centers on my real presence in the sacrament of the altar, that I am really there, and that I am to be worshipped there." And of course, St. Paul and our Lord himself says, "If anyone shall eat or drink the body and the blood of the Lord unworthily, he will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." And of course, we don't drink it per se. You receive it in both species, in the host. And the host is contained, is, in fact, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. When you receive communion, for those of you who will receive communion today for the very first time, what a wonderful, wonderful event it is for this parish and shrine. You will receive Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not a symbol of our Lord. Not a mere token or souvenir of our Lord. It is indeed the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. What a wonderful gift we receive, and how often we ignore it. It is available for us here every single day, not only to receive at the holy sacrifice of the Mass and communion, but also to come and adore and be filled with Him, with all the graces and blessings that He brings to us. So, St. Juliana was told by our Lord, go to your bishop, let him go to the Pope, and I want a feast established. At the same time, in Italy, in Spain, in Germany, in Portugal, many different miracles of the Eucharist, which are still there, can be seen with our own eyes, happened. One of them was right there in the town where the Pope had his palace, in the town of Bolsena, in the Basilica of St. Cristina, not far from the Pope's palace in Viterbo. And there were several miracles, but the one that is most expounded upon, there was a priest from Prague, from the Bohemian kingdom, who came on a pilgrimage of faith, because he found that his faith was waning, just like an old candle. And so he celebrated Mass in the crypt of the Basilica of St. Cristina in Bolsena. And as he was celebrating and consecrating the Eucharist, he doubted. And you know, this happens to many priests at many times. How can I believe this? How can this be the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ? How can this be true? All I see here is a piece of bread. And at the moment that he thought this to himself, the host began to bleed. Blood and blood and blood. And they still have the corporal. It's about this big. It's now kept in the cathedral of Viterbo nearby. So the Pope says, this something has to be done about this. And he receives a message of St. Juliana of Liège. So he decided to institute, this was Pope Urban IV, to institute a solemnity that would be celebrated by all of the church on the Thursday after Trinity Sunday, in honor of the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. He called upon his best theologians, Saint Bonaventure, the Franciscan doctor, and Saint Thomas Aquinas, the most glorious doctor and theologian of the church. They were friends. And they wrote what the Pope wanted. He wanted the whole Mass. All of this that we are celebrating today was written by them, by one of them. As they were going to the palace in Viterbo to visit the Pope and give him the manuscripts, St. Bonaventure and St. Thomas exchanged the documents and wanted to see what each other wrote. And then St. Bonaventure, looking at what St. Thomas wrote, took his document back and tore it into pieces. Would that we could have seen that wonderful writing, because Saint Bonaventure is one of the most wonderful doctors of the church. So it was only Saint Thomas's document, which we are using here today, that was shown to the Holy Father, and the feast was instituted for the next year on the Thursday after Trinity Sunday. And so we have it till this day. And this day is a perfect day to celebrate both the priesthood and the Eucharist and First Communion. Today, three of our children, there are others who will come later, but today three of our children will receive communion for the very first time. Glory be to God. The voices of the little ones. So today, these children are going to receive Holy Communion. Next year, there will be a lot more. Some of them had to be out of town for this day, and so we're postponing it. But that's all right. All the more glory for God next year. Many, many parishes, mistakenly, by the way, celebrate this event on Mother's Day. Now, St. John Paul II has something to say about that. First Communion has absolutely nothing to do with Mother's Day. Give her flowers, give her candles, give her whatever. First Communion is about Jesus Christ, not about anybody else. You Abigail, Jackson, and Stephen, it's about you and Jesus Christ, who will come to dwell inside your body for the first time ever. And St. John Paul II suggested, as he said, we don't want this to be in May. Now, most places still have it in May, because how many people listen or obey? And it's certainly not something about which to excommunicate anybody. So, you know, if I were Pope, there would be a lot of people excommunicated. But anyway, priests particularly. So he suggested the Feast of Corpus Christi. Now, he absolutely forbade that they should receive their First Communion on Holy Thursday. Holy Thursday is about me. It is a feast of the Eucharist, yes, but he institutes the Eucharist by ordaining the first bishops and the first priests of the church. Because without the priesthood, there is no Eucharist. Now, mind you, you must remember that one of the first 12 bishops was Judas Iscariot, who's now burning in hell. So there are many bishops and popes and priests in hell. Don't think that because a person is a priest, they're already a saint. Not at all. And so, he wanted it to be not on Holy Thursday. Holy Thursday is the preeminent feast of the Eucharist and the priesthood by which God, through his Holy Spirit, continues his real presence in the church. But today, the focus, as it should be, is Jesus Christ, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. And of course, I will repeat to you the message that I had at the other masses. Some of you have heard this already, but that's okay. You probably don't remember much of it. A few years ago, well, more than 10, unfortunately, years ago, in Buenos Aires, in a church because they had assumed the horrible sacrilegious practice of communion in the hand against which the popes were, but they don't listen to them either. And some people say, well, why doesn't he do this, that, and the other? Well, he can only do so much. And in Buenos Aires, in a big church there, I don't remember which it is, one of the parishioners found a host in the pew after Mass, in between Masses. And by the way, in the Vatican, every time there is a papal Mass in St. Peter's Square, they have to go afterwards where they find hundreds of hosts. And I have said to them, why do you not stop this? Sacrilege. Until that practice stops, we will not see any improvement in the world and in the church. Remember that. It is even worse than abortion. Because Jesus Christ is God. And so, this church in Buenos Aires, and the woman finds a host and calls a priest, all aghast. He's all upset. Perhaps he was like me, that doesn't approve of those evil practices that have become prevalent in the church today. Seed of Satan. And he takes the host and puts it where he's supposed to, beside the tabernacle. In every church that is a proper church, there is a little cup there, as you can probably see, filled with water. Whenever the priest gives communion outside of Mass, he purifies his fingers in the water. Whenever a host is damaged or falls to the ground, he puts the host in the ablution cup. And so the priest put the host in the ablution cup. And he went back the next day or 2 days later to see if it had dissolved. Once the host dissolves, it is no longer the real presence of Christ. The real presence of Christ is in the visible image, the visible reality of bread and wine. Once that dissolves, in your stomach, it takes about 10 or 15 minutes. So for 10 or 15 minutes, you are a tabernacle. And so he puts the host in the ablution cup, and he comes back the next day. It's not dissolved, it's pink. And he wonders, what on earth is going on here? Maybe there's some kind of chemical reaction. He says, I will come back the next day. And he comes back, and lo and behold, that little piece of bread, which was the host, which was the body of Christ, turned into a round piece of flesh. And he called the archbishop, at that time, Cardinal Bergoglio, our good friend, who is now Francis. That didn't convert him, nothing will. And he gets permission to send a sliver of that host to a friend of his in New York City who ran a very important laboratory which had nuclear telescopes. So they make all the provisions to make sure it is kept safe. And they send the sliver of the host. But they didn't tell him what it was. Could you please tell me what this is? And he gets a phone call a day or two later. And he says, what have you sent me? And he says, why? And the scientist says, because what you have sent me is a piece of human flesh. He says, moreover, it is a piece of the human heart, of a man's heart, not a woman's, a man's heart. They can tell what it is, with DNA and so forth. And he says, oh, really? And he says, well, there's even more to this. He says, what? He says, as I look at it under the microscope, this tiny, tiny little sliver of this host was beating like a heart. It was the sacred heart of Jesus Christ, which is the Eucharist. What a magnificent show. God is even using science, the science of stupid men, to prove the fact that his sacrament of the Eucharist is really his body and blood. And many still will not believe. They have every excuse in the book. But our Lord said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you shall not go to heaven. Lately, some people have been asking me, do you have to be a Catholic to go to heaven? The church and our Lord and the apostles and all the great theologians of the church will answer to you, yes. How can you say that you are a Christian if you do not believe what Christ says? If you do not believe that this is really the Eucharist, that this is here really in the body and blood of Christ, how can you say, I believe in you, Lord, but no. It's either all or none. And today we receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion, and these children for the first time. Today we receive the most wonderful gift that could possibly have been given. Christ gives himself as our food for the pilgrimage as we go towards heaven. Praise be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And bless these children. And bless all these children that hopefully will receive worthily and lovingly our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.